Okay. So I'll just say by way of introduction that in the spirit of your many collaborations and your collaborations between each other, Jacob and I decided to collaborate on this interview. So we have prepared questions together and we're going to alternate like two by two questions. And Jacob's going to start.
First of all, I'd like to say that I think the album is great. The more I listen to it, the more disturbed and happy I am at the same time. There was a period of time yesterday I was telling Anne that I was listening and sort of felt like it was going to change my DNA somehow. I was going to grow feathers or develop a sensitivity to light or something and need to wear a cape when I went outside. But that kind of gets to the first question I want to ask, which is that your music can be very seductive, but there's very often something between you guys as performers, as the musicians, and the listeners that's like a filter over the vocals or masks when you're performing, or just the very fact of all the noise on this album. It's like the music is there both like to draw listeners in, but also to sort of keep them at a very specific distance. How do you tell where to strike that balance?
I think it's I don't think we're trying to keep a distance. I think it's just you don't you I think we're like very curious about finding out ourselves what we're doing, and since a lot of the sounds come out from studies of different objects, and I think it's more of asking questions instead of delivering so many answers. So maybe you feel that as a distance.
So I just wanted to follow up by saying, I mean, another way to think about the distance is like the Brechtian concept, Bertolt Brecht's concept of alienation, which was about always making the person absorbing the art, the audience, aware that this is a performance, you know, that you challenge their identification. You want them to identify and feel emotional, but you also want them to realize that this is a performance, just as in your music, you talk about identity as a performance. And I wondered if you thought about that idea at all.
Thank you for saying that. That's really great. I think yeah, you're really on point there. I think we try out all kinds of ways, I think, to not that we actually tell the listener, because actually we don't talk too much about the listener while working, and maybe not take too much. We don't take the listener too much into consideration when we are actually doing the music, but I think we are really interested in making it very clear that there is not any authentic sound or way to do things, or there is not a authentic way to sing, or there is not one way that a certain instrument should sound. So I think that is, if you like, is maybe the conceptual drive to some artistic decisions. But also in the very process of working, we also just want to have fun and kind of jam and have a joyful process, and then in that very moment all kinds of things can happen, but then in the end one has to decide what tracks should stay and which tracks should be left.
There's a lot of stuff around this album, you know, both in terms of the sort of manifesto that came out, and the album art and the comic that's on your website, that seem like they're clues for the listener to sort of help access the album, maybe help understand some of the subtext in the lyrics or some of the text in the lyrics. I wonder if you think about how people, I know you say you don't consider the listener very much while you're making the music, but do you think about how they might experience the album if those clues fall away, if it's just a piece of music by itself?
I just think that these things like the text that Jess Arndt wrote, and also the comic that we that Liv Strömquist made, I think it's people who we have invited to have these kind of collaborations with, and it's more of be able to work with these people who normally work with the same kind of issues and work share the same kind of political issues that we that we do, and so I think it's more of seeing, dealing or seeing and discussing same issues from different perspectives and through different medias as so it's kind of a way for us to I think to be inspired and to be able to continue discussing these things with other people through different kind of art forms.
Well, that brings up the question of it's interesting. I love the way you collaborate with so many different people internationally and also across media, right? With writers and filmmakers. It just occurs to me, I'm sitting here at my computer looking at a screensaver I have, which is a painting that Gene Smith from Mechanormal made of Pussy Riot. And I wonder if you were at all inspired by what Pussy Riot did in terms of opening up their very identities so that others could sort of speak through them, the idea that we could all be part of what they did. With the Jess Arndt thing particularly, which wasn't initially signed, in other words, it took some people a little while to know that Jess had written it. I wonder if you're kind of all sharing a collaborative identity through this process, or if, well, that's my question.
Do you mean if everybody is sharing the same kind of will to collaborate, or how do you?
Yeah, well, that you've made a big work. You've made the music, but you've made this other even bigger work with all of the wonderful films that you've already made, with, you know, when you perform live, you'll wear a certain costumes, or people are doing your set design, or writers. Is that a shared kind of, they're all part of the knife, or that was just, I was wondering about collaboration and what your philosophy of collaboration was.
Yeah. I there is so much to be said, but I'm thinking that I think we write about that in an interview film text we sent out, like I think at many times working with just the music can feel a bit meaningless, and it is in the collaboration and in the process around it that a possible meaning, I think, can be found. And when we are together with other people and working with these issues and how to work with queer and feminist issues and in our work, I think that becomes some type of meaning. And I think that when we can learn together and think together, I think that is really great. I feel very privileged to be able to do that at work.
That's a very feminist, that strikes me as a very radical feminist way of thinking of making art.
Yes, I mean, definitely. It's men, they have been there before us, coming up with great ways to work.
That's definitely, Yes, definitely. That's definitely true. Well, I had a question about sort of what you're coming from. Who's been there before you? I mean, your music and your work makes me think of everyone from like Yoko Ono to Kathy Acker to Riot Girl, Kathleen Hanna. And the album itself, obviously, you refer to Jeanette Winterson, you refer to Margaret Atwood. And my question is, how important is it for you as artists to connect very strongly to a particular lineage? And also, how do you try to be immediate and accessible to people who might not know that lineage, you know, who might not be familiar with the artists and writers and thinkers you're referencing?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a very difficult question. But we think about that a lot. Do you want to start? Or? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's so... I just think it's so important when you work... when you want to work in a feminist process, want to have that kind of process, it's I think it has been so important to create these collaborations, to not feel so alone, and also to have these kind of autonomous areas where you can work with your ideas and not have to struggle with the patriarchy on the outside, kind of, but to have this autonomous safe zones. And I think a part of that also has been to understand history and to that is something that you discuss a lot. It's been discussed a lot in many feminist areas as well. That we have to rewrite history, because there is so many people missing in history, and I think. That is also a part of this idea that there has been so many people there before us, now I might have lost myself.
When you mentioned autonomous safe zones, it made me think of, I don't know if you're familiar with the writer Hakim Bey. He wrote about temporary autonomous zones that, you know, even in the midst of capitalism, of a world where the commodity, you know, rules, you can create these spaces that are safe spaces. They might not last forever, but they kind of float and travel, run, they go under the radar, I guess. And that's seems to be what you're doing with your community.
I mean, I see different communities who succeed in that very well, and they do art they create the possibility for themselves to work with the ideas, and I think that is really inspiring. I mean, in the past, I think we've had this idea about infiltration as a way to act against a lot of things like and the structures around us, but at the same time I think it's like banging your head to the wall a lot of times, and in the end I think you need to find a way to gain energy while continue working, I don't really believe in that way of working, not for me at least, but it eats you up.
Is that why you try not to think about listeners when you're making the album?
No, I think when we work in the studio, it's really just our process. I mean, it would be difficult to have an idea of the listener because the listener can be so... it can be anyone, hopefully, at least.
And it also, I think, if you should talk about the listener, you should also think about the listener. I think you also had to think about the result of what you're doing, and that is not a good thing to think about while working. I think. I mean, we have had a long list of ideas about how we wanted to work and what things we wanted to try out. And it was a lot of experiments and very concrete ideas, like putting up a PA, running a noise through that and see what happens. And then you, I mean, when the idea is a question, it's, you don't know of the result, and then you don't know anything about what the listener might think.
So, at what point do these questions become become songs? Because the answers for this over the course of the album are clearly very different.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's like when you Obviously, when you have many, many minutes of recordings or hours, I think, you have to start editing it down to something more effective. I think that's what we try to do.
I would like to just. I felt we. I don't think we answered your question, Anne, on regarding how important it is for us to share our sources or the stuff we've read and the relationship to those and people who might not know about them. With the music, you can create an emotional interpretation of these political ideas and theories that we've been reading, and I think music can have that potential to kind of hopefully suggest an emotional side to. The political issues and also I think we chose to share all these sources and like have a source list in the record cover, and I think these books have helped us understand so many things that I think many of our friends and listeners would like to read them too. It's as simple as that, I think.
I appreciate that so much because I often feel that, like, you know, legacies can be forgotten if they're not acknowledged. So I just wanted to say that I do really appreciate that you did that. I also want to ask, you know, speaking of your process and what you've been saying about you know, just working and making your process a inquiry, a set of questions rather than a set of answers. You know, a lot of artists who are now working sort of in the same theoretical framework or addressing some of the ideas that you're addressing, say Mott Mose or Holly Herndon, for example, they're working in electronic music. And of course, you work in electronic music, but you turned to different ways of making music for this album. And I wondered about specifically the instruments or the experiments. How did those tools shape the messages or shape the, as you said so beautifully, Olaf, the emotional resonance or the emotional interpretation of these ideas, specifically the tools that you were using to create the music?
Oh, yeah, where should we start? I try to think of a good example, for example, with the track we did with Emily Royston and Shannon Funches, Emily wanted to talk about the Occupy, the experiences of being in the Occupy movement in New York, because it was just around that time, then we thought, okay, how should we work with the music? We felt like it should be dance music because we all wanted something activating, and we wanted to see if we could do a protest song in the context of dance, and also something that could be seen as something that have a mobilizing feeling. And then we thought, we went really nerdy about what musical scale and how should we make the sound. So then we had this alternative 22 note scale, because I guess we had this idea that everything has to try to inspire to think outside the box and have some feeling of there is another way possible and blah blah blah, I think that so then we got into this field of alternative tuning, and that we really tried out in many of the songs. I think there is a lot of different scales that we've been trying out on different songs, and that has been really fun, so I guess that is one way, there is plenty of ways. I mean, and then we've been playing different string instruments and kind of preparing them in different ways and kind of just getting to know different instruments, like a zither, for example, we built a bed spring. We put the old bed spring into a wooden box and tried some things.
I thought the zither was an interesting choice because it was an instrument that was often used by women in the folk music movement, kind of, you know, the folk revival. Even Joni Mitchell early on in her career played a zither. So yeah. I thought that was a really cool choice.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, really, we're on the track of what of my next question, which was, you know, a lot of times when people think about political music, especially in America, they think about someone strumming a guitar, you know, Woody Guthrie, an anthem. Your music is very cathartic, but I don't know if I would ever call it anthemic. And I think you might have already answered this in terms of how your music is political. Your title addresses it, you know, using that Foucault quote about shaking up our habits. But what is, you know, how does your music connect in any way to that more conventional protest music tradition of a Woody Guthrie or a Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Will we see you in plaid shirts playing acoustic guitars on your next tour?
No, but I mean that's how we are brought up with that way of playing instruments, playing like a band with guitars and singing, using the lyrics as the political way for your sharing your political ideas. And I think it's been very interesting to dig into this, to find out how you make audio political. But I mean, if to answer your question, I think still in the lyrics, I think still it has much, of course, more connections to the kind of lyrics we were brought up with. Some are very direct, and I think they tell a lot about ideas. I mean, they are much more. It's hard. Well, if I would say they are much more concrete than the audio, it's also not right, because I think the audio is sometimes very aggressive and frustrated and looking for answers and curious and all those things that the lyrics are saying also. So, Well, it's just no, I don't know.
So I only have one more question, and it's this. So of course, the famous radical feminist slogan, "The personal is political." My last question for you too is, and also this album is a lot about identity as artifice and identity as performance and gender trouble. But you know, you also have personal identities in your lives, your brother and sister. Karen, you have children. I wondered if your personal identities factor into your artistic process at all, and you know, sort of at what point do you step out of your day-to-day roles or identities and become the knife, or are they just sort of seamlessly connected?
Yes.
They are very seamlessly connected.
I mean, it's hard. I think it's really hard to keep some kind of distance in between. I don't know. I don't really know how to. It would be good to have I don't know if it would be good to have like a professional self for me doing this, and then you have your private identity as well. But I think they are pretty much the same.
Yes, but I mean,
for example, I think. It's very hard to and I mean, this time we really try to organize ourselves when putting out records, and the way we work more administrative with. I mean, we have our own label, and we choose who to work with, and I think in the past we haven't been working really feminist. And so it's like during the last years we have been really looking into who we hire and who we have collaborations with. So it is definitely, it's things we're interested in, and I don't think there is a difference between. What you do as an artist and what you do privately.
Yes, I think everything is politicized for me.
Yeah.